Chapter 13. Let's Win Another War, 1932. The year was 1932, and word that the aluminum-containing solution showed incredible promise spread quickly amongst the medical community. Mass immunization was possible if only one shot was required. What's more, natural variations in the power of the toxin itself could be compensated for simply by adding or subtracting aluminum, an easy fix that seemed too good to be true. The substance, which had originally been used as part of the manufacturing process, was now known to increase the effectiveness of the diphtheria shot beyond their wildest dreams. In Louisiana, a public health official made a bold statement, quote, the most important announcement he had made since he assumed office, end quote. Beginning next week, the physician said, we will begin using aluminum-precipitated toxoid in our work of diphtheria prevention. The official, filled with the promise of the new discovery, made an impassioned plea to those who were understandably skeptical of medicine's miracle cures. I know we have many good people who do not believe in medicines either curative or preventative. Personally, I respect every man's belief in the Bible and prayers. I believe in both, but somehow I must believe that the all-wise ruler of this universe must have intentionally allowed humble man to discover a preparation that, if taken, would eradicate a disease that has killed millions and somehow will hold man responsible if he, knowing better, will not take advantage of it. The choking and stifling of babies, and they are babies, remember, to death in this parish must stop now that it is so easy to prevent. Let's win another war. As a final admonition, he added, from now on, it should be a crime punishable by imprisonment of the parent if a child dies of diphtheria. While others didn't invoke religious beliefs or make threats of imprisonment, around the country the mood was nearly euphoric. In Baltimore, the mayor spoke at a special event alongside the founder and director of the Johns Hopkins University School of Hygiene and Public Health. The National Institutes of Health began conducting its own tests of the new shot, apparently not out of safety concerns regarding the new ingredient, but to make sure that one shot alone could indeed produce sufficient immunity. In Washington, D.C., another official from Johns Hopkins spoke to the entire nation via radio in a segment called The Conquest of Diphtheria. All over the country, those entrusted with the health of children did whatever they could to make parents aware of the wonders of medicine through the arrival of the aluminum-precipitated diphtheria shot. Campaign posters placed seemingly everywhere reminded mothers, reactions not as severe, longer to absorb. Other posters proclaimed, inoculation a simple matter, soon over with, and leaves no scar. The scar of the bifurcated smallpox needle wasn't the problem. For many parents, the stodgy proclamations from government officials and well-heeled physicians would never reach them. The serum sickness many of their children had suffered from previous diphtheria shots was fresh in their minds. The ineffectiveness of the injection, witnessed firsthand by parents whose children still suffered from diphtheria, weighed heavy on their hearts, and they were understandably reluctant to embrace the recommendations of public health officials. A sobering report from Indiana offered one of the few blunt takes on the dubious nature of the new shot, saying, quote, it is possible that further study will bring out some undesirable features. At the present time, however, the only undesirable feature seems to be that the arm is somewhat more sore than by other methods. This complication, however, is so rare as to be of very little consequence, particularly among children. End quote. Why children were thought to be impervious to having their arms abscessed with granulomas is unclear, and although further study would not be done, some undesirable features would indeed soon appear. Health officials nationwide were ready to pronounce the recommendation. Doctors and nurses were ready to administer it, and money was available to promote it. By the end of 1932, and for the first time in recorded history, hundreds of thousands of infants and toddlers were going to be injected with the metallic substance.